This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 1, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to remember with love a great American who just passed from earth to heaven, Herman King. He was an African American who was so glad that he was free in this land. He was born in very poor circumstances in the state of Georgia, but he had Christian parents. They told him to work hard, always go to church, get as much school as you can, and do not get arrested. Amen. And so he obeyed and became a very fantastic, successful CEO. He ran for the presidential office on the Republican ticket. We remember him and fell in love with him with his 999 tax bill. He worked at the Tea Party, and he was on Newsmax, and he was on Fox, and he was a bright and shining light. Oh, Father, I just ask that you've already said to Herman Cain, well done, my good and faithful servant. We remember with love Herman Cain, our loss, heaven's gain. Let's have a hand clap for Herman Cain. Great America. Also, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m. to pray fervently and effectually for President Trump and for America. You're also welcome to come each Sunday, 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. I'm in Suntree, Florida, right beside the produce place, which is 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 11, verse 1. I am entitling this chapter, Purpose Plus Passion Equals Power. Maybe you'd like to say that. Purpose.
Purpose.
Plus passion.
Plus passion.
Equals power.
Equals power.
Now, that ought to hold you for about 2 years. I could quit now. However, there's good purpose and there's evil purpose. Let's take the bad first. Right now, in the United States of America, the first beast of Revelation 13, which is the political system of the Antichrist, is passionately purposed to destroy America so evil can have power here. In other words, they are using Molotov cocktails, they're burning down businesses, they're invading people's private homes and so forth. And the worst thing of all, they are masking, no pun intended, yes pun intended, masking the truth about our health. Everything they tell us is to hurt us. Listen, America, let's unmask them. Now, you know probably what Mr. Mask is going to tell you next. He's going to tell you to crow like a rooster. Are you going to do that? So they are absolutely trying to destroy their passionate purpose. But there's good purpose. Jesus purposed in his heart to go to Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint. He knew they were going to crucify him, but he was so passionately in love with you that he was willing to die for your sins. And so because he passionately purposed and went to Jerusalem and died and arose from the dead, now you have power to have eternal life. Now you, everyone under the sound of my voice, God has a purpose for your life. Very few people ever find it. I'm sorry to say very few Christians ever find it. Oh, you think because you go to church, you're in God's will. No, there's a specific purpose for your life. So what you do is start right now and ask for that purpose. And when you embrace the purpose, you might not know it at first, but if you seek it, you'll find it. When you passionately embrace the purpose God has for your life, You will have power over all the power of the enemy, and you will have power to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now, to understand Acts chapter 11, you need to understand that in the world, there are really only two kinds of people. They are clean or they are unclean. The clean are those saved. Their filthy sins have been washed away with the blood of Jesus. The unclean are the lost ones. Their sins are still there. Now, we call them saved and we call them lost, clean and unclean. At the time of this writing, the Lord Jesus Christ came through the seed of Abraham. He was Hebrew. The 12 apostles forming the first church there in Jerusalem are all Hebrew. And only the Hebrew were clean because they were the only ones whose sins had been washed away by the blood of Jesus. However, God wanted to send the gospel to the unclean. They were called Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who's not the seed of Abraham. So last time, God gave Peter a vision of unclean food. It wasn't about food, it was about people. It was just a metaphor. And a man named Cornelius, unclean, a Gentile, wanted to be saved. So God sent Peter to tell the gospel of Jesus to Cornelius, and Cornelius and his whole household were saved. Now they were clean. Whosoever will may come. It was time for God to open up the gospel from the Hebrew through which Jesus came to all the world, because God loves everybody. But keep in mind, as the curtain goes up on Acts 11, that the other 11 apostles there at the first church in Jerusalem do not yet know that the Lord is opening the gospel to the Gentiles. The Mosaic law had said don't even associate with the Gentiles because evil communications corrupt good manners. You're not to be unequally yoked. You love lost people, you witness to them, but you don't go to dinner with them because they're going to bring you down and you're not going to bring them up. So keep that in mind.
Verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God.
And they were amazed.
2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him.
Of the circumcision means they were of the blood circumcision of Abraham, which means they had accepted the blood of Jesus. Now, Peter was absolutely the first preacher of the first church, but the other apostles, Peter, what's the matter with you? The Mosaic law says you're not supposed to go with the Gentiles. What have you done? Understand, they're ignorant of the fact that the Lord has opened the door to the Gentiles. Peter's going to be patient.
3, saying, thou wittest in unto men which were circumcised.
Uncircumcised, not saved by the blood of Jesus, not of the seed of Abraham.
And didst eat with them.
And not only that, but you're socialized with them. God says, be not unequally yoked. You know why the man asked the pretty lady by that first date, can we have dinner together? He wants to get to know her. He wants to be close to her. He wants to fellowship with her. He wants to be one with her. You say, let's go to dinner. I like you. I want to get to know you better. Be not unequally yoked. While Christians love lost people, we pray for them, we give them money if they are poor, we witness to them, but we don't get too attached. We don't have the first date teenagers, we don't do too much texting there, because evil communications corrupt good manners. God knows this. Very rare would you pull the person up. You're not supposed to marry anyone who's not saved and not on the same yoke you are. You're not supposed to be best friends. You love them. You win them to Christ. But wait until they're saved before you have dinner with them. Do you understand?
Yes.
4. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying.
Now, what you have heard of truth, it is a sin to keep it. You hear me at the end of this show, I always say, whatever you receive is to give away. Go and tell. Now, Peter has received a revelation. Oh, God's going to be able to save the whole world, whosoever will may come. Now, the other 11 apostles are called and chosen of God. They don't know that yet. Peter's going to give them that truth. See, for every truth you get, and you get them by the dozen here at Triple Teaching Wednesday and Sunday, it is not yours to keep. Go and tell, but do not throw your pearls before swine. Go to those people who are trying to find the truth, want to find the truth. Go and tell so they too can come into this next level of understanding. Do you understand?
Yes.
5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. 6. Upon the which, when I fastened my eyes to consider it, I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air.
Now, those other 11 apostles would have known Leviticus 11, and they would have obeyed Leviticus 11. God made clean animals to eat and unclean animals to eat. They're scavengers. They eat the debris, they eat the waste, they eat disease, they eat the rotten tomatoes, okay? And they were all in that sheet. So I'm sure the other apostles said, goodness, that sounds like those unclean animals of Leviticus 11 that we're not supposed to eat.
7. And I heard a voice saying, arise, Peter, slay and eat. 8. But I said, not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has at any time entered into my mouth.
And of course, the other 11 apostles had not eaten that either. Now remember, this really isn't about food. It's about people. It's a metaphor.
9. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, call not thou uncommon.
So Peter now is teaching the other apostles that these Gentiles were called unclean only because they were lost. We're not better than they are, but he came to save everybody. Through Jesus' blood, they may be saved. So now they began to understand this is not about food. This is about people. Jesus has opened the door of the gospel to the whole world. Whosoever will may come.
Amen.
10. And this was done 3 times.
And the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, a matter is established. The apostles would understand that 3 times.
And all were drawn up again into heaven.
Peter did not eat any of this. It was not about food. It was about people. Now, I understand there are people that try to use this little thing so you can keep on eating the scavengers. Well, if you want to eat it, eat it. Now, you don't go to hell for it, but as I told you last time, you might go to heaven sooner.
11. And behold, immediately, there were 3 men already come into the house where I was.
Okay, and they were not Hebrew, they were Gentiles.
Sent from Caesarea unto me. 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting.
So Peter tells the other apostles, somebody from Caesarea, a man named Cornelius, who's a Gentile, sent these 3 men and wants me to go with them. And I wasn't going to go, but because of the vision, the Holy Spirit said, go with them and do not doubt.
Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me.
Now, the 6 brethren were 6 Hebrew men there who loved God. They were working for the gospel with Peter. And Peter was telling the other apostles this because God knew that Peter needed a witness. These 6 people were Hebrew. They were going to witness what happened to Peter and how Cornelius got saved, because in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses established, a matter is established. But God gave Peter a double witness, and that was to convince these 11 apostles that God was in the details.
I went in unto the man's house.
Okay, we went to Cornelius' house, a Gentile.
13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men unto Joppa.
So Peter tells the other apostles, the man saw the angel of the Lord and said to send for me, Peter.
I call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thee and all thy house may be saved.
Now Peter says, the Holy Spirit wants them saved. Wow, this is a whole new thing.
15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them.
Now, that's very important that Peter told the 11 apostles that the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius. Remember Cornelius and his household and his cousins by the dozens and his neighbors? They all got saved. Remember that last week? And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is that important that Peter told the other 11 apostles? Here's why. They would have heard Jesus say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Flip it over. Those who are not led by the Spirit of God, they are not the sons of God. You see, the evidence of a person being saved is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why in all this book of Acts, everybody that got saved, the next thing, they got baptized with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives an energy to a person. The Holy Spirit just quivers in you, and other saved people can feel it and see it and sense it. And it's proof that you are saved. Forgive me, but I'm going to give you a personal example because it's perfect. God told me to start a school many years ago. As I opened my door the first time, I said, Lord, I invite red, yellow, brown, black, and white to come. And they came, and they came by the dozens, red, yellow, brown, black, and white, and I loved every one of them. And I taught adults as well as children. And one day, a beautiful woman came. Her skin was a lot darker than mine. Mine is white, hers was black. And she was just very beautiful. She was a little nervous. Most of my students were nervous. You're scared to take something new. You're a little afraid you won't get it. So I tried to make her feel comfortable. And so I just said, don't be nervous. And suddenly she relaxed and smiled at me. And she said, Sherry, I am so comfortable here. You do not know, Sherry, but I prayed in the car before I came in here that if you were really that woman of God they tell me about, if you're really not prejudiced, if you really love us all, that the Holy Spirit would touch me at that moment. And he said, if you will phony ask the Holy Spirit to tell me that, I was going to leave. She said, as soon as you said, don't be nervous. She said, the Holy Spirit just flooded me. And he said, Sherry is my daughter. Now, don't give me any praise. Do you understand? Do you know I know that about people? You can tell me you love Jesus all day long. You can sense a person who's got the baptism. There's an energy. There's a power. It's proof.
Amen.
As on us at the beginning. 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, that ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
And the other 11 apostles would also remember that Jesus had said that. Now they're beginning to understand, whosoever will may come.
17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did it to us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?
He's the potter. We're the clay. Have your way.
18. When they heard these things, they held their peace.
Now, those 11 apostles were really happy about this. You know why? They had a purpose. They were chosen from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. And they were to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole wide world. But now they understood that because they had a passionate purpose, they were going to have more power. They were not only going to tell their Hebrew brothers and sisters, they were going to take this beautiful word to the whole wide world, and God would have power to save everybody. Ooh, it's so beautiful to have a passionate purpose when it's of God.
Amen.
And glorify God.
And when you have a purpose of God and you're passionate about it, it will always glorify God. Sorry, it wasn't about you being popular or pretty or rich or famous or having fun. It's all about God's kingdom. They're lost people everywhere you go. Everybody you text, there's so many of them. You tweet and you text and you email and you go out to lunch and you socialize. Don't you understand? You're missing your purpose. When are you going to understand that you are to be a minister of reconciliation to everybody you meet? Amen. Now that's purpose. That's a purpose-driven life.
Amen.
Do it with passion, and God will give you power over all the power of your enemies.
Saying, then hath also God to the Gentiles granted repentance.
Whosoever will may come. Gentiles, anyone who's not the seed of Abraham.
Unto life. 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen.
Now remember the story of Stephen. He was murdered for preaching the gospel. What happened? Saul of Tarsus, before he got converted, he will later become Paul, before he got converted, he was persecuting the church because he thought Jesus was an upstart and was messing with the one true God. So the Christians there, the Hebrew people there, that believed in Jesus, had to run for their life, and they were scattered. Understand that the church is not a building. Wherever you go, you are the church. So that's kind of good, because when you get scattered, the church gets scattered, the word gets scattered, if you're one of those who are going to share the word. Hallelujah. Amen. The enemy meant it for evil, but God turned it for good.
Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto Eudas only.
The word Jew is totally incorrect. It's Greek Eudas. It means our brother Judah or resident of Judea. They did not know yet that the gospel was open to the Gentiles. So even though they were scattered, those Christians, wherever they would go at Cyprus and Phoenicia and Antioch, they would only preach to the Hebrew people.
20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians.
Now, the Grecians were called Hellenists, but the Grecians were also Hebrew, but they were Hebrew, the seed of Abraham, but they spoke Greek. That's the only difference. So right now, except for Peter, everybody's just preaching to the Hebrew. But keep in mind that the Grecians are Hebrew, but they speak Greek. That's coming up in our story.
Preaching the Lord Jesus.
Now, this kind of says maybe there's a little language problem here. I mean, you're Hebrew, you're speaking to Hebrew, but the Hebrews speak Greek. Now, here's something I've learned. If you're going to witness to people, you got to speak their language. What I learned is I study people. I don't care if you're pretty, ugly, or rich, or poor. The first thing I look at is your heart. And I find out what your heart is, and I communicate with your heart. That's the language. When you find out a person's heart, then you can speak their language. When I was a little girl, 7 years old, my wonderful teacher, Miss Winterloo, gave me a book about the understanding heart. It affected me the rest of my life. I said there, 7 years old, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Everybody I meet, I'm not going to look on the outside. I'm going to look on their heart, and I'm going to love their heart, and I'm going to communicate with their heart. Oh, Christians, don't care about the outside. Go to the heart, and then when you will speak their language from their heart, find out what they're feeling, how they are on the inside. The outside is usually a phony, and you will speak their language, and then you can win them to Jesus. Are you there?
Amen.
21. And the hand of the Lord was with them.
Who is the hand of the Lord? The Lord Jesus, he was with them. Right now, the hand of the Lord, the right hand of the Lord, sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. Jesus is with you as you go and tell.
And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord.
They turned unto the Lord. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. Oh, Church of Jesus Christ in America, Return to your first love. Stop your having fun and being famous and getting facelifts and fancy clothes and getting your nails done, your hair done, and being famous and rich. Oh, Christians in America, return to your first love. Return to Jesus. America, return to Jesus. Make Jesus the Lord, the Bible, the book. Return ye unto God.
Amen.
22. When tidings of these things came into the ears of the church.
Now Peter would be back up there in Jerusalem with the other 11 apostles, and they hear about this.
Which was in Jerusalem. They sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. 23.
Now, why did they send Barnabas? Do you remember that Barnabas early in the book of Acts, that he got saved? He was Hebrew. He was even of the tribe of Levi. Boy, he was the seed of Abraham. And he felt the calling of God upon him. He was very wealthy. He took all of his land and all of his houses and all of his money. Nobody made him. He just wanted to do it. And he gave it to Peter and John and all of these, James and all the apostles, for the work of God. Now, he knew there was a purpose for his life, but he didn't know what it was. So he started where it was. He was going to get the word. He was going to be a part of Jesus' church. He was going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was going to be available. Now, he begins to find what the purpose is. Barnabas was originally from Cyprus. That's where the Grecians, the Hellenists, the Hebrew who speak Greek lived. So look at God. I mean, Peter and those knew that Barnabas was a Hebrew, but he spoke Greek. So he goes there and he can communicate and tell the gospel in their own language. Now, he has a purpose. He's passionate about it. He now knows what it is. And watch the power. Watch the power of Jesus to save through Barnabas.
Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, and he was glad.
He was glad for people to be saved. There's no joy like seeing people saved.
And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord.
The purpose-filled heart. First of all, anyone a purpose, passionate from God, you'll find they're very steady. That does not mean they don't have troubles. They probably have more because Satan tries to kill them. But thick and thin, sickness or wellness, trouble, no trouble. You know why they're steady? Because they know God's purpose in their life. And no matter what happens, they keep their focus on why they are here. You know why you are vacillate. You know why you're up one day and down. You forget why you're here. You think it's about you having fun or being popular or having friends or getting married or having money. You forgot that's not your purpose. So a person who has that purpose-filled heart is very steady. And they're always going to stand because you always know it gives you strength. It gives you vitality. It gives you energy to keep on keeping on. And a person with a purpose-driven heart is such a blessing. You're a blessing to lost people. You're a blessing to saved people. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you are a sweet-smelling savor, perfume, fragrance to the lost. You are a sweet-smelling savor, perfume, fragrance to the saved. Do you understand right now? If a purpose-filled person with anointing would stand up every day and talk to America, the lost people who are scared to death in America would say, yes, we didn't know we had hope. We didn't know that God would save us and we would smell good to them. And the Christians who are afraid and don't understand what's going on and you're kind of vacillating, the Christians would be, oh, they would be exhorted. They would be edified. Oh, the purpose-filled heart. Sweet-smelling savor, and you're a sweet-smelling savor in God's nostrils because the purpose-filled heart prays with the anointing, and it comes up to God's nostrils like a sweet-smelling perfume.
Amen.
24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith.
This was Barnabas. He had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was full of faith. Why was he full of faith? Because Romans tells us faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. While he did not yet know quite what God wanted him to do, when he gave all of his money and joined the first church there, he knew that the word would give him faith. He heard the word. See, the purpose-driven heart knows the most important thing is the word, every word of God. The purpose-driven heart prays the word, talks the word, lives the word. Anytime you're talking on the telephone, you're trying to comfort people, you say the word. You win souls with the word. You do the word. You sing the word. The word works in you, and it tells you, go there, don't go there, say that, don't say that. That's because you have a passionate purpose from God, and God is the word.
Amen.
And much people were added unto the Lord.
And the Lord added daily to the church such as we saved. Oh, Christians, get your purpose right with God. Stop wanting the world. There's nothing here that's any worth anything. Jesus is coming back. Get your God-given purpose. Embrace it passionately, and you will have power. And you know what? You will then win souls.
Yeah. 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul.
Now remember Saul? Later on he would become Paul. He had to go and hide in his hometown Tarsus because the phony baloney church leaders of the synagogue there were trying to kill him. Now why did Barnabas go and fetch Saul? Here's why. Barnabas knows he's got a purpose-driven heart. He knows that he can't be unequally yoked in the ministry. Be very careful with whom you attach yourself. We love all people. We would do anything for anyone. We witness to them. But in the work of God, you must have one heart, one purpose, one spirit. You must be kindred. You must be twin in purpose, in dedication, in your calling. The reason many of you don't make it, you call all Christians, you know, and you just socialize with them. Now love them, pray for them, fellowship with them, do good to them, but find your twin. Find that place of worship where it's the same God purpose that you have, and it is awesome, the power you will have in Christ.
Amen.
26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass they assembled themselves a whole year with the church and taught much people.
Now Saul gets to start teaching the word of God. Boy, was he brilliant. He was a Hebrew scholar. He'd studied under Gamaliel. And now he understood that the whole Old Testament, the Torah, was about Jesus. What a year.
And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch.
That's the first time we were called Christians. Jesus Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It means in the Hebrew, Messiah, and in the Greek, the Anointed One. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. The anointing of the Holy Spirit flows down from the head onto the body. So, anybody who is a Christian for real, you will be anointed. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed. All Christians who are really saved are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Remember, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God gives you that anointing. Are you a Christian?
27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch.
Okay, now you will hear people say that there are no more prophets today, that they're just in the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all of that. We love those, but no. You notice at this time, Jesus has already ascended back to heaven. The church is being formed, so they are prophets there. And Paul himself later would write of five great offices of leadership in the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. In other words, those gifts run together. So a prophet is is an anointed speaker. Though you think you're hearing the man or woman speak, it is the power of God speaking through them. And very often they will give you a word of prophecy and foretell things. So here comes one, a real one.
28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar.
Actually, Josephus, a Bible historian, wrote that this actual famine happened in 41 AD to 54 AD. Now, America, if you let the masked people shut you down again, there will be a famine of bread and of water in America, because that's the idea, to make you so poor you have to lose your power. That's the evil purpose. However, America, right now, Amos 8:11, the famine is not of bread or water, but it's of every word of God.
Yeah. 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. 30. Which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.
Now, Jesus always takes care of his elect. He knew this famine was coming up. Now, where Barnabas and Saul were, there were farmers. Now, remember, God created all the races on the sixth day, and he said, it's very good. You are beautiful. Then God rested, and then he said, I don't have a man to till the soil. I need a farmer. Farmers know how to do it. They know how to raise the poultry. They know how to raise the cattle. They know how to cook it and eat it. They know how to grow, they know how to sow, they know how to water, and they know how to harvest. It's beautiful to watch that. And so here is this great Saul, who's going to become Paul, whom God would use to write a large portion of the New Testament. But right now, he and Barnabas are the servants. They're taking and serving. They're going to do the grunt work for those in the church in Jerusalem. You see, the person who is passionately purposed by God, the greatest power is that you are a servant. What can I do for you? How can I help you? May I pray for you? Would you like to be saved? Let me serve you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, America, Christians, purpose plus passion equals power. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We'll begin right there next time, but now let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. What a great old-fashioned Bible lesson today. That was awesome.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Hey, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1:25.
That is so beautiful, Scott. Thank you so much for Scott's stuff.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to pray for the sick in just a moment, but first, let me pray for you if you are lost. If you will pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart, God will save you, and you'll have power to have eternal life right now.
Amen.
Pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in your Word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is King.
Jesus is King.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you out there in cyberspace who prayed that, confession is made into salvation. You'll want to tell me. After a while, my announcer will give you my telephone number. And so you want to call and leave that message on my answer machine. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Huh! Left eye, tumorous cancer, in the name of Jesus, move, go to the abyss. In the name of Jesus, right eye, tumors cancel the right eye, in Jesus' name, go to the abyss. Left eye, Son of Righteous, rise with healing in the wings. Right eye, Son of Righteous, rise with healing in the wings. Accept your healing. Woo! Be rejuvenated, be restored. He sent his word and healed you. You shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Left eye, right eye, be healed in the mighty name and the power of Jesus. Everybody, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, arise, take up your bed and walk. He sent his word and healed you. Believe, receive, with Jesus' stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
Now, those of you who received that healing, that miracle, you want to tell me that also. Now, I want to remind you that my program is about to be over, and it'll seem to be over, but I want all of you to stay tuned, because every time at the end of my show until Election Day, I'm adding a new part there. I'll come on again, and I'm going to pray for America. So you want to stay and do that while it's just a short time, but it'll be from every time I have my show at the end here until Election Day. Now, nothing is given for you to keep. It's supposed to give away. So go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you. And I thank you for loving the precious Lord I love. I believe you have a purpose. And I believe you will passionately embrace it. And God will give you power to endure to the end. I can't wait till next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
God bless
of Truth.
You. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches, and in every street and corner of America, that there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that if there are any more traitors around him trying to pull another coup on him, let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political system of the Antichrist, and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking you to reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. All of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh God, that we are asking you keep us free. We ask that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer. And I know you hear me always, and I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. We thank you. We love you. God save America, and God bless America, and may America bless God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
God is bigger than the air I breathe, the world will leave. God will save the day, and all will say, my glorious. And all you ever do is change the old for new. Here's your part. Peace. is bigger than the air I breathe, the world will leave. God will save the day, all will say, my glory. Clouds are raging, yeah.
time I doubt your goodness. You show me you are with us. Your presence makes the difference. I've seen it every time. What a good God, bringing me back to life, opening up my eyes. God of every blessing, standing by my side. I've seen it every time. Your face.